Shalom. We're in Enaya, in Rav Kook's commentary on Masechet Shabbat, on the Agadatot, on the stories and the philosophical stories. And today we're going to deal with a very famous story. And as I mentioned before we started recording, you have to forget what you learned in kindergarten about the following story. It's the famous story of David HaMelech on his last day, that he wanted to know when he was going to die. And all of us grew up in based on Rashi's explanation and the different embellishments that our kindergarten teachers added on. As usual, we've got to come in here objective and deal with the source. And we'll see the Rav Kook takes a very innovative explanation. Okay? The Gemara is in Daf Lamed, Masechet Shabbat. Kirav Yehuda Amarav, the Amar of Yehuda Amarav, my dichtiv, what is it that David HaMelech says in Tehillim, chapter 39? Hodieni Hashem kitsi, umidat yamai, mahi, eda'a machadal ani. Just in order to remember our background, we'll just mention Rashi here. David HaMelech says to God, let me know when my time is up. Ha'atidot kitzi literally means my time is up, the end. Ha'atidot lavo alai, what is going to come upon me? Lishna achrina, another explanation. Kitzai minayin minyan shnoti, when am I going to die? Midat yamai be'eze yom b'shana, lada'at minyan yamai, she'ani mitkayim b'shana achrona. I want to know when is the day of my death. When is my yortzeit going to be? When am I going to pass away? Midat yamai, kama yamei chayai, how long will I live? Okay. Ma chadalani, Rashi explains, be'eze yom ani chadel, ubateo min ha'ulam. What day am I going to pass away? And then the Gemara continues that Hashem doesn't want to tell him. We'll continue a little more in the Gemara. Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, hodieni Hashem kitzi. Please tell me, when is my end? And again, we'll see a new explanation on this. Amar lei, God answers David, Gzera hi milfanai she'in modi'in kitzo shel basar v'dam. There is a decree before me. In other words, God decreed. And whenever God decrees, we have to understand what is the benefit. And something we've seen very often in Rav Kook. God is perfect. Not only is he good, but he's perfect. And there is a very clear benefit in every single thing that goes on. Sometimes we see it right away. Sometimes it takes a long time to see. But it is in our better interest that Hashem does not tell us our end. Umidat yamaihi, mahi, right? The midat yamai, the extension of my days, when is that? And Rashi explains, when am I going to die? When is my yortzeit going to be? Gzerahi milfanai, she'en modi'in midat yamav shel adam. Hashem says there's another decree that we don't tell a person what is going to be the midah of his days. Literally, midah means the measurement. And again, Rashi, and that's the way it was explained to us in kindergarten, the day, the years, how long I'm going to live. We'll see that Rav Kook is going to go in a little different direction. Okay, Enun Gimel. Ketzev Chaye HaAdam. Rav Kook, already from the first word, tells us the word ketz is connected with the word ketzev, pace. Rhythm, pace. And this is something which we're not going to get into a shiur in diktuk, A, because I don't want everyone to fall asleep, B, because I'm very weak in diktuk. But everybody, most of you probably are familiar with the klal that the Hebrew language is built on shorashim, on roots of three letters. But Dunash ben Lambert and Rav Shimshon Rufael Hirsch writes about this, says that those three root families really go in families of two common letters. For example, there is a clear connection between Liforer, which means to crumble. Lahafrid means to separate. Lifaret is to break down a klal, a general idea, into details. Lifrots is there. All of these are where you take a large unit and you break it down into a lot of smaller units. Right? You have two kids who are wrestling and you mafrid, perej dalid, between them. Okay, you separate them into two units.
And the car is an animal that plows and breaks the land into furrows.
The way it's usually explained is pare. Paru urvu is that you take a male and a female, two large adults, and they break down into many, many small children, multiply. Or in the vegetable world, it's called pereshchet, right? Lifruach, to multiply in the vegetable world. Lifrod's gader, we mentioned, to take one fence and to break it into two. Lifrom is the Hebrew word to tear your clothing, where it starts as one big clothing and then you tear it into two. Lifrot or lifaret, we said, to break a large idea into a detail. Lifarik is you take a whole book and you break it down into chapters, or you take a machine and you break it into smaller parts. Lifrosh, minatzibur, pereshin, is to, you're part of a large community and you separate yourself to become a small individual. There are lifroz, the ir prazi, right, a city which is open, right? It's like when you break through a fence, the city is either closed into one big fence or it's broken and then you have two. And the same thing with all of the families in the Hebrew language are broken down into families of two. So without a doubt, the word ketz, which means end, and ketzev, which means rhythm, are from the same family. And here Rav Kook is suggesting, what is the connection? And he says, the first explanation of David HaMelech's first question is the pace of life. What is going to be the pace of my life? David HaMelech asked God. And Hashem says, you cannot know. In other words, it's not in your better interest to know. Okay?
Isn't he asking this at the end of his life?
Yeah. So but he doesn't know if he has another year, or 10 years, or 20 years, or 100 years.
And when the end is going to be, is going to determine how, if I have 20 years left, I've got a 20-year plan to get to the end of my life. If it's 1 year,
right,
I have a 1-year plan.
Connected with what we're going to talk about. Okay. Ketzav chaye ha'adam efshar haya leichaker al pi shnei ofanim. The pace of a person's life could be explained in two different ways. Mitzad erech kochot haguf sheyesh lem ketzav b'shimusham. One possible way of measuring a person's life, and again, this is Rav Kook, is very innovative. He says, why measure our lives in days or months or years? He says, we could lichora measure them in the number of movements, right? The number of calories we burn, the number of, because if we're talking about a physical body, how long is this physical body going to last until it's blay, right? It depends how much you use it. Right, and that's going to be one of the points that Rav Kook is going to make. You know, we'd start making all these cheshbonot to start saving our calories and not doing anything. Right. As an interesting idea that, you know, people, wealthy people, they would exploit poor people and slaves and to do everything for them. You know, I don't, it's chaval for you to bend over, you know, to expend waste some calories on this, you know, stupid, worthless action, and we'd end up not doing really anything, right?
Wouldn't be healthy, though.
Right, it definitely wouldn't be healthy. Well, so that's part of the idea of the balance, that it's good that we don't know how many calories or how many movements we have at our disposal. Okay? Mitzad erech kochot aguf yesh lem ketzav b'shimusham. Regarding the powers, the potential of our physical strength that our physical bodies have, regarding the ketzev, the pace of how we use them, v'im haya efshar ligalot le'enei adam b'derech haseichel ha'pashut o b'derech hanvua v'ruach ha'kodesh, if it were possible to ascertain exactly, whether through science whether it be through prophecy, if we would be able to know Mirosh from the beginning, Bidiyuk Nimratz, Klal Kochotav Gufanim Upratiyotam, how, what my potential is, right? Or Bichlal, should I invest my time in music? If I would know the future, like if I'm going to be successful or not going to be successful, at first glance, that would seem very beneficial, you know, that I should know what to invest in and what not to invest in. Just heard tonight of a girl on the yeshuv who left her studies after 2 years. Okay, so she wasted academically, or she wasted 2 years of her life. And if she would have known that from the beginning, it would have limited her free will considerably. But at first glance, it would seem, hey, that would have been helpful. Right? This is one of those questions that very often we ask, why didn't God let us know A, B, and C, and D? Right? And what Rav Kook is explaining is that these really would be, that would be counterproductive knowledge.
Here's the, if you're aware of the limitations of, you know, how much energy you have, as if it were,
yeah,
then maybe you would use it more beneficially. Because if you know your days are numbered, then you try to use them more carefully. But on the other hand, if you knew you had a long life ahead of you, then you would maybe waste more.
Exactly.
Isn't there, I mean, this may be slightly off topic, if it is, cut me, but it seems to be related to this, the idea that I think I've heard about in Balei Musa, about the person has a certain number of words, a certain number of sort of limitations on speech in their life, and that's why they should be careful what you say, because it's not to waste words.
Mm-hmm.
You can expire, or use up your allotted language in life.
That's the type of ma'amar which you really have to check if there's a source in Chazal for it, or whether it's like you said, it's my educated guess is probably the words of a mamash recent latter-day Musar person who's trying to show in concrete terms a trick of how to, you know, not speak extra. But I would be surprised if that would be in Chazal. Haya, yeah, I've also heard it also, but there are a lot of things that
right. Okay.
I think we mentioned not too long ago, the story of, which I have no doubt is incorrect, of that gadol, it's mentioned in the Art Scroll series, of some Rav who was sitting Shiva for his son, and he said that, they asked him how he's dealing with it, and he said, thank God, because now I can love Hashem with my whole heart, because I used to have my love divided between my children and God, and now I can love God more. And again, that's very, very un-Jewish way of thinking. But these are the type of stories that that many people grow up on. So you have to check it out. Yeah, far-fetched.
Far-fetched.
Yeah. Okay, so if we would have known the number of actions and calories that we could have at our disposal in life, right, we'd start doing all of these calculations. What is the best way? It's like, did anybody ever have to measure the number of kilometers that they drove, right, in order to get a hechzer, a tax return?
Yeah, yeah.
So that, like, you start thinking, wait, should I go in the right lane or the left lane? The closest way is like a straight line, and you start going crazy. And
if you have a lease car from work, then it's you have what, 25,000 kilometers.
If you pay by kilometers,
up to that amount you're okay, and if you go over, it's extra per kilometer, so you start taking shorter routes, even though they might take longer in the traffic.
Yeah? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's happening.
So that's a good example, right? Where we start making irrelevant decisions, which in the long range really are stupid, but for the short term, you know, to get in my, not to pass the 25,000 kilometers, or like when you rent a car, sometimes they give you whatever, 120 kilometers a day, whatever it is, and you know, you don't want to, and you start, you know, getting stuck in traffic and taking the short route, even though it's going to be a lot longer, right, or more dangerous, or something like that. Aval Hashem Yitbarach hechin bechokhmato, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared the world in a way, in His wisdom, shekokach yusibuchim darkei hamaoraot b'shimush hakochot agufaniim. our physical actions are so complicated and depend on so many different factors in terms of, you know, how far away something is going to be, something which is heavier or lighter than you expected, how long a task is going to take. You know, we all know that we plan our days and, you know, you plan between 8 and 9, I'm going to do this, between 9 and 10, I'm going to do this, take another short, oh, here I have 15 minutes. And we all know that it never works out that way. And what Rav Kook is saying here is that it's all for the better. It's good to be organized, but there's a reason why God is not a yeki, and why life is not for yekis. And because you got to know how to roll with the punches, and all of those times that you have to play it off the cuff to, what's the word?
Adapt.
Adapt. There's a word that I'm looking for. It begins with an A. Alter.
To improvise.
That's the word.
It starts with an A. Exactly.
Yeah. Just remember, everything that you says goes down in prosperity. ובעצם יסודי הכוחות שהם תלויים בהמון המציאות שמחוץ לגופו של אדם. And the basis for the kochot, the energies, which are dependent on many, many different factors which are outside of our control. עד שאי אפשר שיבוא אדם לידי ידיעה ברורה בקצב החיים. Here Rav Kook is tying it in with the word the ketzev. Man cannot know the pace and the rate of how life is going to go. Mitzad hakochot hakvuim hagufaniim. Even regarding things that you would think you should be able to figure them out. In other words, it's a very basic question that Rav Kook is dealing with here. Why are there so many surprises in life? Right? Why is it so difficult to plan ahead? Why are so many things non-foreseen? Or why is life so complex? Right? There are a lot of basic questions here. Alken, lumata bakasha shel hodieni Hashem kitzi, haketzev hativi hakavua mitzad mishkal hakochot hagufaniim shebaguf, haita hatshuva. Right, regarding this question, which Rav Kook is explaining, regarding what is going to be the pace of my life. God answers, Gzeirahi milfanai she'ein modi'in kitzo shel basar vadam. Notice Rav Kook is deducing it from the word ketz and from the word basar vadam, which is different than the second question that we're going to see. Okay, basar vadam, flesh and blood, that is a very physical intonation, right? That David HaMelech is saying, how long is my flesh and blood going to last? How, regarding, like we said, the number of calories that I have, the number of actions that I have, there's a term that Rav Kook uses in Eder HaYakar, that a man is made of a kortov shel moach, right? A handful of brain. If you start measuring, you don't measure brains by the handful, right? And somebody who tries to get life down to a science is not going to succeed, and adraba, it's going to be counterproductive if he wants to get down to that kind of details.
The person who wants to know the ketiv means he becomes a katsav, that he's cutting up.
Okay. Mitzad binyan aguf shel basar vadam hanerach kekitzvat kochotav. Lo nitan liyot midbarer kama yochlu kochot ke'elu be'erkam uvinyanam liyot omdim b'shimusham hakavua. It is impossible to know what is going to be the erech, the value, and the build of, and you know, even deterioration. We do have a certain amount of control, depending on how much we exercise, how healthy we are. On the other hand, there are certain sicknesses and ailments, whether it be Alzheimer's, whether it be Parkinson's, or there are a lot of ailments that, you know, doctors would always like to say, you know, obviously don't smoke and exercise and eat healthy, and it's always, no matter what you go in for, they'll tell you, you know, don't eat white flour and don't eat too much sugar and exercise, and which is obviously all good. But it notice, points out Rav Kook, that the world is so dynamic that even that which you think that you have control over, you really don't have that much control over. Umatai yavo kitzam al pi hamatkonet hativit hapshuta. Right, when your life is going to be finished, we don't know. Maybe a classic example is, I know one of the first people that I knew that passed away, it was a friend of mine's father, who was the most athletic father in the whole group, and he dafka had a heart attack while he was swimming. In other words, it was because he was working out that his days were shortened. Right, so it's just an example of... you just can't know. Vine, hayedia hazot. Here Rav Kook is going to get into why it is in our better interest that we don't know. Hayedia hazot, this knowledge regarding the pace of our lives, mitzana erech hagufani, regarding the physical, our physical bodies, the pace of our physical bodies, im hayta efsharit lichaker, muvan hadavar shehayta meviah, have said Rav, it inevitably would have been very counterproductive. It would have caused us a lot of damage if we knew how long we were going to live. Sharei mechkarei aguf netunim hem alechol doresh vechoker. Gam le'ela asher nafsham ufla v'al tarat ha-musar lo yitnasu. General knowledge, as soon as the cat is out of the bag, it's out there for everyone. And even though, say, the scientists who are doing the research, they're the ones who will use the information in a productive, healthy way. On the other hand, once the information is out of the bag, that say we were able to measure with a some kind of odometer how long a person has to live, so the eat, drink, and be merry people, for tomorrow we shall die, they will try and cram in as much pleasure and physical pleasure as they can, and it'll be counterproductive, and then they'll even move up by overeating or overindulging or over whatever they do. They will move up their death date even more than it should have been in the first place. Okay? Now, not to mention that when he talks about the less idealistic people or the bad people, it's going to be dangerous. I mentioned once...
The Melech wasn't asking to reveal the secret for all time. He was asking to know his personal...
No, right. But Rav Kook is explaining is the answer. Why did God decree that nobody can know? In other words, he's saying that it's not in anybody's better interest. It's a secret. I mentioned once that... the example of... Jack Ruby, who killed Leah Harvey Oswald, who knew that he was dying of cancer, and I imagine if anybody here would know that they chas v'shalom don't have so many days to live, they would go and do things, you know, a la Yigal Amir, you know, all those things that, you know, hey, somebody should do, you know, somebody should kill the prime minister, somebody should do this, but nobody has the guts to do, and thank God. In other words, we do a lot of tamut nafshi ima plishtim. You know, remember Shimshon, where he brings down the house and kills himself with the plishtim. If people would know that they only have a short time to live, they do a lot of crazy things, you know, to try and overturn the government and try and,
try and beat the system and beat the clock
and not
things
worry
that are really
about...
meant for the long run, they will try to do them in the short run.
Right. Hmm. To do things that should be in the long run, to do them in the short run, that is going to be counterproductive. In other words, one of the things that we've seen very often, if you remember the... It's a paraphrase from Rav Kook. The kids sing it all the time. Am hanetzach lo mifached mi derech arukah. Right? The eternal nation, Am Yisrael, is not scared of a long journey. You have to know in life that there are a lot of long journeys. Sometimes
it's the opposite of shuttle.
I will finish it. Sometimes I won't finish it. But it's good that we don't know when it's going to be finished. And yeah, it's the opposite of peace now or Mashiach now.
And Chazal also warn us against messing with the Russia Shasham Mesachekit law.
Yeah. Or the
wicked
little child
who has the short who is in the middle of a shvung of a short run game.
והנה הידיעה הזאת מצד הערך הגופני, אם הייתה אפשרית להיחקר, מובן הדבר שהייתה מביאה הפסד רב, שהרי מחקרי הגוף נתונים הם לכל דורש וחוקר, גם לאלה אשר נפשם מופלא ועל תרת המוסר לא התנסו, as we explained. להם ודאי צריך היעדר הביטחון של חיי הזמן להיות נמזג בכוחות נפשם, כדי שיהיה על כל פנים למגן נגד זעף של הכוח הדמיוני המסית לבלוע ולהשחית, לחבל אורחות מוסר וצדק. Right? There are certain mores, certain institutions, norms that are based on the idea that I'm not going to mess you up, because tomorrow you might mess me up. There's what's what Chazal called galgal chozer. The world goes around, and it comes back at you. And the short-sighted people who might even know that their life is finishing, they might, you know, go up and tell people all those things that we naturally know that we should keep to ourselves. You know, somebody, I don't know, somebody who's on his deathbed very often feels, you know, there are different comical routines about people on their deathbed, and they say all those things, you know, they they reveal all the secrets that they, and they hurt a lot of people, and they end up saying, on the one, you know, there is this concept of shchiv meira, that what a person says on their deathbed does have halacha clout to it. And even if you don't make a kinyan, and without getting all the details, nevertheless, that is a problem, right? If a man tells his wife on his deathbed what he really thinks of her, and why? Because he knows he's dying. And there's this idea where Rav Kook is saying is that this concept of a deathbed, knowing that you have a one-year-long deathbed, is not a healthy concept for many, many people. In terms of packing in as much pleasure as you want, in terms of some people would just be very passive also, right? Knowing, you know, hey, if I know I'm going to, what's the point of starting something that I know that I'm not going to finish, right? Or that I can't depend on my kids to finish for me, or, you know, long-range projects would... there are a lot of long-range projects that, whether it be writing a book, whether it be working on a new theory, whether it be, there are a lot of things which really take a lot of time and effort that a lot of people would not invest in if they know that their time was limited.
But there are multi-generational projects too.
There are multi-generational projects. Here we're talking about the life of the individual. Rav Yaakov Medan once gave a shiur about Adam Arishon, that a man was supposed to live forever. And then, because he sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shortened it to 1,000 years. And then he shortened it to 120 years. And then he shortened it to Yemei Shnotenu Shivim Shana, 70 years. And then 150 years ago, life expectancy was down to, what was it, I think 45. It was and Rav Medan explained that when people sin, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's in their better interest to cut their time short. Not just, you know, the simple explanation is, you know, to give them less time to sin. You know, Sheina l'Rishayim tov lehem v'tov le'olam. Right? When bad people sleep, it's good for them. They should sleep as much as they can. And so too you would think that death would be as good as possible for a bad person. Rav Maidan is saying that tshuva is directly connected the idea of improvement, the idea of change, repentance, is directly connected with the fact that you know that you don't have eternity. Right? If we knew that we would live 1,000 to the age of 1,000, we wouldn't wake up in the morning. We'd push everything off, and we wouldn't get anything done. So ironically, very often somebody who knows that he's going to live for 45 years is going to accomplish a lot more than those who think that he's going to live for 1,000 or for eternity, because you have a deadline. We all know from life that we always need deadlines, right? You look at the great Kabbalists, or the Ramchal, and who else did you mention? The Arizal. There are a lot of great Rabbanim who Davka packed in a lot to very short lives.
Because they packed it all in so early, they accomplished their life's work.
Oh, that's going to be...
They graduated.
That's we're going to see next time. I said we're not going to get there today. The idea of what are going to be my accomplishments in life, that's also God decreed for our better interest, that he's not going to let us know what we're going to succeed and what we're going to accomplish.
Stretch it out.
Right.
Moshe was, even though he knew that he was going to die after he did the war against Midian, he did it anyway. That was Moshe, not any person.
Right.
Moshe is a unique person.
Uh-huh. The idea of Yom Hadin, of knowing that there is a judgment day, is something very important. But if we would know when the judgment day is, you know, how is it Rabbi Eliezer says that a person should do tshuva a day before he dies? And his students asked him, how do you know when you're going to die? He said, well, that's the point. You don't. In other words, the idea of being on the edge, on being aware, being careful, is another advantage that we get from not knowing how long we're going to live. Ve'ech she'yech yisaron ha'bitachon shel ha'chayim hu al kol panim mimazeg eze rifyon nistar shemachlish et kocho shel ha'yetzar hara af yim lo yodeh ha'adam v'ga'avato v'gasuto shu margish mize eze rifyon shel risha. Right, a lot of people, they won't admit that they'll change their lifestyle based on their knowledge of when they're going to die. Mikoma koma emeti, the truth is, deep down, chazaka ve'al korcho, inevitably, sholetet yalav levatzeret hakochot haraim uzdonam, that he inevitably is going to change his lifestyle and do many things that he shouldn't do and not do many things that he should. Alken. Ra'ui hu shedaltei ha'askala ha'shfela haba mitzad ha'chakira gufanit tiyena ne'ulot. That even though God opens a lot of doors of wisdom, here Rav Kook is probably paraphrasing the Zohar, which says that on the pasuk b'shnat 600 lechayi Noach arubot ha'shamayim niftachu, that in the 600th year of Noach, the gates of heaven opened. And it says in the Zohar, what is the gates of heaven and the water that came down? That is the gates of knowledge. And the modern Kabbalists say that it's talking about the last 600th, which is in the year 5,600, according to the tradition that the world is going to last 6,000 years. And in the year 5,600, which corresponds to the year 1840, that was the time of the Industrial Revolution, where a graph would show that the world basically advanced a little by little, and then all of a sudden, over the last 150 years, it has advanced, the graph has pashut changed, it's the world has advanced a lot more, probably in every decade, than it did in the first 5,000 years of the world put together.
A logarithmic curve or something like that.
All right, whatever it's called. Alken ra'uihu, so that's even though that God very often does open up the gates of wisdom, if not right away, so 5,000, 6,000 years into the world, there is one gate which he is never going to open. That's how Rav Kook is explaining. Gzeira lifanai, it is a decree, it is a klal, a rule, that I will not let people know the secret of death. Shelo yuchal kol choker, no scientist, no research, no prophet will ever know that answer. That is one, the Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit that says that there are three keys which HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives to anyone. One of them is the key of life. Kol choker li vadam mikitzo shel basar vadam, mitzad besaro vedamo, klomar binyano achomri. Here Rav Kook is tying it in, what we already did at the beginning. We foreshadowed a little. How is this connected with the first question, the wording of the first question? What is the rate of my flesh and blood? V'cheivan sheletovat yitzur v'amusar enoshi tzarich hadavar liyot ne'alam, nistatmu adrachim kol kach, ad she'i efshar la'amod aliyem gam kemitzad ha'nevuah. Even prophecy, even David HaMelech, who is a prophet, and does get a lot of answers from God, this is one answer that God is going to say, no, not even for you. Ki im hayu aruchim sharei hanevuah l'umat davar muchashi kaze ha-mityaches l'musagei haguf, hayu bechreach gam ken drachim nimtzeim gam ken l'mechkar ha-seichel ha-chupes talumot ha-tiviyot ich lagi alahem. Right, we would try and find shortcuts and tricks and shorten the distance, or be passive, or all those many ideas that we spoke about. In other words, it is a gzera, and it's in our benefit. And just like, as we said at the beginning, the many surprises that we have in life are for our betterment, so too what Rav Kook is saying here is that very often our lack of knowledge on a certain topic, even though we're super curious, and God created us with that curiosity, which means that it's good and it's healthy and it's beneficial. But on this one or these two particular issues, it's not beneficial at all. It's counterproductive.
The scientists shouldn't study.